back to Biff, a podcast about superhero movies, TV shows, hammers, axes, and other implements of destruction. I am one of your hosts, John Moltz. If you listened to our last episode, you will know that Dan is on paternity leave. So I am joined again by my good friend, Guy English.
Yeah, we're just a couple of dudes missing their creative thruple. All sad and lovelorn.
That's yeah. Right. That's how the magic is.
You know what? I just realized this last week. I recorded from vacation, and I was on an island, and I completely failed to make any jokes about being on an island.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. No, that would have been a good.
We're losing our touch, pal.
A good callback.
We're losing it. And I walked out the door.
I know what's happened. Yeah. Well, I think we got some Star Trek in, so at least we haven't completely.
That's true. That's very true.
Not every trick in our book has gone out the window.
Yeah, we can always lean back into the big bag of Star Trek. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, right. We'll probably end up talking some Star Trek before this episode is over, I would imagine.
Probably. I have a feeling we're going
to
end up.
And Dan's not here to rein us in.
I know. We're going to land a Star Trek episode, I'm sure. Like, is Q Mr. Mixelplick?
Who knows? Who's going to stop us?
Who knows? Could be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there we go. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good point.
Yeah. Okay.
And Mixelplick is the Impossible Man.
Whoa.
You know, basically.
Trippy.
I mean, he plays the same role as the Impossible Man for the Fantastic Four.
It's the same character.
As Mr. Mixelplick plays for. Yeah, he's just
mischievous
goofy,
elf.
Like,
yeah.
You know, out of control. Exactly. Yeah. An imp.
Imp. Nice. Actually, is he? Whatever. I don't want to get into his backstory too much.
not like a real imp, not like a fantasy imp. No.
But here's a question for you.
Imp in the sort of descriptive way.
Here's a question for you, which is of vital importance. Does Bizarro have his own Mr. Mixelplick? And is his name Mixelplick backwards,
I don't know.
The Mixelplicks counter
each
other?
I am not nearly steeped enough in Superman lore to know the answer.
Right, this is why we stick to Star Trek.
I would think so. I mean, you know, after, you know, how long has Superman been around? You'd think that after, like, 80 years of Superman.
Somebody's come up with that idea,
Someone has done, an alternate Bizarro Mr.
Does Bizarro have a pet cat? You know,
that would make sense too. That would make sense, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Anyway,
everything's upside down.
I mean, we start this movie with our hero a little upside down.
Well, so we got to talk about we're talking about. We got to tell people what we're talking about, so we don't spoil things for. We're not covering a show currently because there aren't any shows running right now that we.
Yeah, they stole our legends.
There's plenty
from
of shows
us.
Running, but they stole legends from us. There's no, there's not much superhero stuff going on right now. There's probably going to be some news this week.
Yeah, Comic Con,
San Diego Comic Con's going on soon. So we'll probably circle back next episode about that. I would imagine.
We'll do like a sweep.
But so this episode, we decided we would talk about Thor: Love and Thunder because you and I have both seen it. And it is currently in theaters, so it seemed timely. Rather than wait 6 months like we usually do for it to come out on streaming like we usually do.
Yeah.
We could talk about it now, because Dan's not here. And I will do a sort of a brief recap. We couldn't remember if we actually do recaps for movies, but we decided we're going to do one anyway. Because it'll help us start talking about it.
Yeah. Our audience is slowly discovering what Dan does around here, which is make it make
basically
sense.
Everything.
Yeah,
keep us on track, do all the editing, all that stuff. Yeah. All right, so we start with Gore and his daughter who are wandering through sort of a blighted landscape. His daughter dies, and he meets his god, who is a complete letdown. And fortunately, somehow the Necrosword is right there. And so he picks it up and he kills the god and then vows to kill all gods.
So the deal is the god is celebrating because they just killed the previous dude with the Necrosword.
With the Necrosword. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so, right?
Well,
I
mean, that's what it,
which
says.
Seems like a crazy coincidence, right?
Yeah.
But you got to start a movie somehow, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You get one coincidence to kick it off. Also, gods and mystery and weird sentient weapons. So, fine. Like, maybe the Necrosword sword is the thing that brought him in. Who knows?
We get the impression that the Necrosword is, you know, an entity unto itself and sort of corrupts him, right?
Yeah, it's got a bit of a cult leader vibe to it for sure. So immediately I fell in love with the look of this movie. Christian Bale walking down the desert, very cool looking. That mm-hmm. whole scene is like really touching. Christian Bale deserves all the accolades he's ever got. Like, that guy just kills it no matter what, right? That was a real harsh way to start a movie, though.
Particularly, you know, you usually go to a Thor Taika Waititi movie and you expect to have a kind of a good time, and it is a bit of a downer to begin with.
Like, a lot of Waititi's work, it like swings drastically between tones. He tends to use the whole keyboard when he's playing his movie, I guess. Because we go from that to immediately an adorable production design of like little critters made of butterflies or flower petals and like cool masks around this god. I really loved the way it looked. It looked amazing.
Yeah.
It's channeling like a Jim Henson in the 80s sort of vibe. Like a dark crystal-y sort of motion.
Dark crystals,
to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. And even like, yeah, and even the, I mean, we'll get to it, but like the, when they go to the, where the gods live. It's a bit like that too.
Yeah.
But,
it's great. So this guy.
Jumping around. That's okay. I was just gonna say, jumping around a little bit. Jane, is going through cancer treatment and then suddenly heads off to New Asgard where she finds Mjolnir. Thor is off with the Guardians of the Galaxy. When he hears about gods being killed, he goes to investigate, and he ends up back in New Asgard, where Jane shows up as the mighty Thor. Gorr is there. He summons these demons, fight, 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 and he steals the Asgardian children and makes off with them.
Classic villain move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he's not like omnipotent or anything. I mean, he's very strong and he can hold his own against them, but he also pulls a jerk move and then kind of retreats.
Yeah, right? he is not a god himself. He's just juiced by this weapon. I'm taking it as being.
Which is kind of what happens to Jane too.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not like he's any smarter or, I mean, Jane's already brilliant, but you know what I mean? It's not like it alters them or juices them in any way beyond that. Very cool little fight scene. I love the use of shadows.
Yeah, and their reunion is
their reunion is hilarious
as well, of course.
Yeah. So in the comics, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's like I don't have anything in my notes about it, but all the stuff about Mjolnir and Stormbreaker is very funny.
Yes.
Just the fact that Stormbreaker is extremely jealous. How they work that in, you know, amongst the theme of your little girlfriend shows up, I think is delightful.
It's so perfect. The way that they just make Stormbreaker float around at eye level,
floats into the corner of the frame, into the side of the frame, just like.
Just the shape of it.
Who
has
you
such
been
a,
talking to?
Yeah, it's got like a face side of it. Like it just. It's just great. It's also kind of part Groot, right? Like when he plants it, when he's sitting on the thing, mm-hmm. it grows roots, which magically disappear. Stormbreaker doesn't know
and
the
he,
other one.
And he rides it at one point, which I don't,
rides it
I
like
don't
a
know
broom.
That. I don't know. We've, I don't think we've ever seen that before.
No, he rides it like a broom. it seems to have more personality than Mjolnir, right? Like...
Mjolnir seems very like standoffish. Mjolnir doesn't have. I mean, I think we've gotten the impression in the past, at least certainly in the comic books, maybe more so, but that Mjolnir does at least have like some sort of personality, or is like not sentient, but somehow alive, kind of.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
it can make decisions and stuff like that. I mean, it's like a dog.
I was about to say that because it's. I mean, it has to make a decision, right? Like, if you're worthy, then you get to pick up the hammer. I guess maybe it.
Yeah.
I don't know where the agency for that comes from. Maybe I'm overly thinking the Marvel magic again, but. But yeah, the fact that they were both imbued with personalities was great. Because it just, I don't know, there was levity to it. And rather than just have Thor explain his feelings to Korg, and neither of them are particularly great at talking about their, well, Korg is, I guess, but you know what I mean? Like, you can't just have like exposition all the time. So just having the axes be able to like, be little puppets in that regard was perfect.
So they meet, they have a meeting in the mines kind of, they decide that they're going to go to Omnipotence City to get the other gods to help. They find out that when they get there, they sneak in, they find out that Gore is trying to reach Eternity, and if he does so, he can have his wish granted, which they assume is to have all the gods killed.
Yeah.
Korg.
Well, it is, right?
There's a fight.
Yeah. We find out at the end that's his intent, but.
Yes, yeah. Right. Korg, there's a fight. Korg gets reduced to just his face, which pisses off Thor. So he grabs Zeus's thunderbolt and throws it right through him. They escape with the thunderbolt and then head to Gore's shadow realm. And on the way there, Jane reveals that she has cancer to Thor, and they kiss. They have a moment. We have a nice little chat between Valkyrie and Korg as well. Mm-hmm. And at the shadow realm, it turns out the kids aren't there. Jane realizes it's a trap to get Stormbreaker, because Stormbreaker is the thing that will open the gate to Eternity. So she grabs the axe and throws it away. Gore traps them and then starts to kill Jane so that Thor will call the axe. He does. Fight, fight, fight. Jane's getting weaker. Gore stabs Valkyrie. Thor then opens the Bifrost to get them back to New Asgard, but the last second, Gore grabs Stormbreaker. It's hard to say Gore and Thor in the same sentence. meanwhile, so when they get there, Jane is dying. She has to go back to the hospital. Valkyrie's down, and Thor heads off with the lightning bolt to fight Gore by himself. Gore is using Stormbreaker to open the gate to Eternity. Mm-hmm. Thor is going to lead the kids into battle, and he uses the lightning bolt to give them all the power of Thor.
I really like that scene. I don't know, it's cheesy.
Yeah, I like that. I liked that too. It's pretty goofy, but I did enjoy.
I like,
and of course, all the stuff the kids do is very.
I was
silly,
just about to say, like,
the
little girl with the doll is just with the plastic lightning out of her eye. The doll's eyes, it's perfect. It's pretty dark when you think about it. Like, it's a child army versus like nightmare monsters.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
But it's
fun. At first, he seemed like he was going to lead them without any powers, and that seemed like that was going to end poorly.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's a thing that he can do. I suppose that probably is. It's a thing that Odin could do. Odin's gone now.
Yeah.
It seems like. Sure. Yeah. He can do that. Why not?
Yeah. I think I think he can do a lot of stuff that he just doesn't know that he can do, kind of thing. Like, he's basically Odin.
Yeah,
he's Odin at this point. Like, he's missing the, not anymore, but he was missing the eye. He's, by the end of the movie, he's a father. I think they're moving him to slowly become the new Odin type thing.
Yeah.
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 Like, that's his retirement will be.
In the chronology of the comic books happens as well, although you don't really see him until, you see him as the older Thor, which he's very much like Odin years in the future, which I think is part of this story in that.
It could be.
I can't remember if the God Butcher is that story or if there's a different one where you see him in three different time periods. In the past when he's young, now, and then in the future he's an old man and he has like three granddaughters or something like that.
Yes. Because one of them's not Thorina, but like one of them's got a silly name that's like, man, I don't. This is what people pay us for, is to have vague knowledge of like comic books.
It's a good.
Years
that's
ago.
A good series, though. I mean, actually, that
it
all
is,
there's
yeah.
a, there's several good runs of Thor through. I mean, in the whole Mighty Thor run is terrific.
Yeah,
But most of the stuff that I read recently, but I didn't read Thor for a long time. I read it when Walt Simonson was doing it.
Oh yeah.
Years and years ago.
Yeah, back in the 80s.
And then I check back in every once in a while, but I've read a bunch from like 2010 on, and a lot of it's really good.
That's good. Thor never struck me as a cool character when I was younger, but I've since read a few runs and I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Because it always seems so pretentious and like a little too D&D.
Well, yeah,
for
that's
me.
Right.
But the Simon stuff was fun. I don't know why I didn't read it that much. I think, well, how old was I? I was a teenager, so I was probably more angst-driven than I would like to admit. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Like the Killing Joke's coming out or whatever, Batman the Cult, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's serious comics.
Yeah, Thor, you know? Thor is not an outcast, right? Thor is not, you know, he's the popular guy. So when you're a teenager, you want to read about characters that are outcasts, like the X-Men or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that was when Chris Claremont was huge, and I was reading that stuff. And, you know, he gets turned into a frog. I'm pretty sure that was on the shelf while I was working at the comic store. And I'm like, God, what is this stuff? Who cares about this? I'm reading Alan Moore. Well, secretly, Alan Moore is reading the frog thing, and he's like, this is awesome. So, you know, I'm the idiot.
Yeah. So we get fight, fight, fight. Gore is beating up Thor when Jane appears to make her last stand. Thor manages to break Stormbreaker free and gives it to the kids to send them home. But the gate has been opened. They manage to break the Necrosword, but Gore walks through the gate. And Thor tells him that he's not seeking death or revenge. He's seeking love. He could use his wish to bring his daughter back, so he does. But then he reveals that he's dying. He gets Thor to promise that he'll protect his daughter, and both Jane and Gore die. Jane turns into sparkly stuff. And then we go back to New Asgard, where there's a big statue of Jane. Valkyrie and Sif are training the kids to fight. Korg meets a guy, and they they have kids over the lava pit. Thor is raising Gore's daughter to fight for downtrodden alien races, and they are together, love and thunder. In the mid-credits scene, Zeus is alive, as it turns out, and he tells his son Roy Kent to enact his vengeance on Thor. In the post-credit scene, Jane arrives at Valhalla and is greeted by Heimdall. So the big theme throughout the whole thing is kind of that it's not, you know, it's not super original, but it's that loving people can suck and is difficult, but is better than the alternative of not loving, not to love at all, I guess.
Right. It is. It's
so, yeah, clearly something that's at least that's been around since Shakespeare's time and obviously pretty much forever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been around forever because it deserves to be, right? It's a story worth telling 100 times.
Right.
Like, just keep reminding yourself that this is, and you can say it in different ways. You know, The Fifth Element, same kind of plot. I mean, whatever. Pick any one of them. It's pretty much the same thing. Close to it is Return of the Jedi, where Luke refuses to fight Vader. This has a similar ending, right? Where he's like, look, you've won. I'm going to go spend it with Jane because I love her. You know, you make the choice. Because ultimately, Thor doesn't solve this by punching him in the face. He solves it through love, which really made me happy. Like, it's, you know, it's, like you said, seen it 100 times. But socking somebody on the jaw is not the end of a character arc. Like, it doesn't tell you anything about them. And, you know, this movie wasn't about socking people on the jaw. It was about, you know, love and loss and the difficulty of that. What did you think about the the flashbacks with Jane and Thor hanging out?
Oh, I thought that was pretty good. I enjoyed that. I thought it was decent, and you know, and Korg narrates the whole thing, so it's funny, and it's a bunch of stuff that we didn't get previously about why they're not, you know, they mention it, of course, in Ragnarok, but they don't show you exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Like why they're not together anymore. And it was good to get filled in on that. And then you also get the bit where he tells Mjolnir to take care of her. And so you get a reason why it works that she comes back to, she goes to New Asgard and is able to pick up the hammer because he had already like whispered it. Apparently whispering to weapons is like a big thing.
Yeah.
that's how you you imbue weapons with certain abilities is by whispering to them. So
I would love to see,
if you have a weapon at home, you might try it.
I would love to hear the pep talk that Cap gives his shield. That has got to be some incredibly inspiring stuff. Don't worry, you'll bounce back.
So I like that. I like that flashback. The one that I think is, I mean, it's not bad, but it's just, it sort of comes out of left field, is Jane's flashback to her mother, dying of cancer. It fit, you know, it sort of fits. I mean, I guess you get some sense of her reasoning for wanting to not waste away in a bed, I guess.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's like we've never heard her talk about her mother. We've never, no, it's just suddenly there.
Yeah.
This,
I mean,
reference. And
yes, except everything is suddenly there. Like they, you know, it's like they turn the lights on in this character. And it's like, oh, look, there's like, you know, furniture and stuff. And you're not just stubbing your toe because she says weird stuff every now and then.
Yeah. Right. Because we don't get much from that character for two movies.
Right.
And then she's gone.
Yeah. And it would be weird.
I think one of the reasons why I like this movie, of course, because you get a lot more depth from her, mm-hmm. and she's fun.
She's fun. She's funny
in this role.
Yeah.
They're all really good. I mean, the main four, of course, are good. And Christian Bale is excellent as well.
Yeah.
But they're fun to watch just on a base. I mean, you know, you could watch them read the phone book and it'd be enjoyable on some level.
Yeah. One of the things that sort of struck me during the flashbacks was, I mean, there's a couple of scenes where they're just hanging out or they're at a restaurant and they're kind of getting bored of each other. And there's just a look that she gives. Like I think Korg is doing the voiceover or something. And there's just a look that Natalie Portman gives that's not like an overt eye roll or anything. It's just like a slight mm-hmm. boredom or like a checking out kind of thing.
She's looking at him and she's looking at him and she's just bored.
Yeah. Yeah, which I loved. I mean, it's big acting in this movie, don't get me wrong, but that was just like a little slice of like, oh, wow. There was like, you know, this is why she's Natalie Portman. Just that one little twitch of her face and you knew everything about what was going on in a scene without any words. And she's like looking at Chris Hemsworth like, just like, oh, God, dummy. Which kind of fits what
why am I with this dope?
Yeah. Well, what I liked a lot about her character as revealed in this one is that it is not counter to previous times we've seen her, right? Like in the first one, she's not unfunny. She cracks wise and she checks him out. Like she's got some life to her. And in this one we actually get to see how like sweet, goofy, nerdy she is as she's trying to come up with her catchphrase, which is a Saru on Discovery riff. I've decided.
Oh, yeah, that's there you go. Yeah. You did it.
I did it. Finally got one in. And a disco one, too. Those are kind of rare.
Yeah, right. That's a
few and far between. Mm-hmm. But it's a sweet thing. Like, she just wants to sound badass. So to do that, she needs a catchphrase. It's kind of adorable and cute. And
I assume at that point she knows earlier on that the hammer is kind of killing her. You know, it's not causing her cancer, but it's causing her to not be able to.
Yeah. So they describe that in the comics.
I mean, she's dying anyway. So it's kind of a weird, like in the comic book, it's a little bit more clear, I think that, it's when she turns back into Jane, she is much more drained than when she.
Yeah.
First, you know, when she turned into Mighty Thor.
Yeah.
So it's you know, using the hammer over and over again is making her condition worse.
Yeah. Which doesn't make a lot of sense given.
No, it doesn't make a lot of sense because the hammer saves her in the first place. Like, I mean, she goes, right. She thinks the hammer is going to save her, and then she goes to find it.
The hammer's intent is to save her, right? Like, that's what we're led to believe, is that, like, it is acting out of some sort of intent. So, what?
Well, like, it's a hammer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess thinking of it, it's dumb as a hammer. That's what
every problem you have is a mortal, it looks like it can be solved with a hammer.
Okay, thank you for
solved with you.
Yeah, thank you for yanking me back from that path down insanity way. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense, but I forget exactly, like, I missed because in the comic book, they sort of skip over the genesis of her as Thor. Like, I think it's in a previous, like, you're left with, somehow the hammer ends up on the moon, right? And Thor is unworthy. Right. He's judged by the hammer to be unworthy. He can't pick it up anymore. So, it's left just sitting there, and then somebody comes up and picks it up, and later you find out it's Jane. They go through a whole thing of, like, trying to figure out who the heck picked up the hammer. Thor actually goes around and has, like, a list of suspects.
Yeah, that's a common comic book thing.
Investigates them. Yeah.
Yeah, remember when, like, Superman?
Yeah, like Superman, like, yeah, like Death of Superman, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this one makes a lot more sense, basically. Thor just wants to keep her safe. The hammer being dog-like just goes for it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Has she been using this hammer? Like, I don't know. The timeline's fuzzy, right? Because Thor does not come back to Earth until he hears Sif putting out an SOS. She's getting, she's having a Wolf 359 kind of day. And so how long had Jane been?
I'm not pulling my weight here with the Star Trek references. I gotta.
I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to cram them in for fun, like tribbles on Twitter, Kaylee. How long had Jane been Thor? I guess is what I'm.
It doesn't seem not long,
right? But it could have
Valkyrie,
been.
Valkyrie knows her. It's long enough that they become friends, right?
Right,
And she says, you're going to love her. But at the same time, she also says that Gore is, like, her first big bad guy, right? I mean, she hasn't been doing... doing it very long, clearly.
Yeah, but why... Yeah, I mean, why would you? You're hanging out in sleepy New Asgard, right? Like, it seems...
Yeah. What's the
okay? So I mean, long enough that she knows how to fight. Like, it's not new to her. We are introduced to her at she's confident with it. It's not we're not getting this Spidey learns how to web sling sort of stuff from her, which I thought was cool because we skipped.
Well, that's the thing with the Thor power though, right? It's sort of it's much more immediate. It does the same thing. With the kids, it does, like, Cap figures it out real quick. Of course, Cap would, because he's probably, he knew he could pick up the hammer. He knew he could pick up the hammer from day one.
Yeah.
He just didn't do it because he didn't want Thor to feel bad.
Thor power is just a downgrade for that guy. Yeah.
He spent a whole bunch of time planning, what was going to happen when he had to pick up the hammer. What was he going to do?
I love that take on it, because he does some awesome tricks.
At the same time... I think it does give you a certain sense of how to make use of the powers innately, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Because the kids certainly figure it out quickly as well.
What do you think about what's it called? Something City. Omniscient City.
Omnipotence City. Okay. Yeah. I love that. Well, first of all, of course, I love the dumpling god.
Yes. Bao, the god of dumplings.
Bao.
That was
great. Incredibly and it was adorable. Cool. I wish they had nameplates. I would like to know who all the gods were supposed to be. I would love to see a breakdown of that at some point. Maybe that'll be in, like, extra material when it gets released.
Yeah. I love the size.
That would be fun.
Size variances.
Because, like... I'm sure they spent a bunch of time on it, right? Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of different sizes and shapes and different looks. Which I really enjoy. I mean, they've got Aztec gods, They've got Egyptian gods. They've got, which I assume that there was one of them that looked like Horus or something. I mean, so,
yeah.
You know, I didn't get an immediate vibe of a tie-in to Moon Knight, but it seemed like certainly there was a reference to Egyptian.
Yeah, I mean, he mentions Ra at some point, and he name checks mm-hmm. Roy Kent.
He does, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's like we can meet Hercules and Zeus and all that. So, I mean, I gotta say, I'd be more scared of Roy Kent coming after me, but
than Hercules.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He's. I was thinking about this. I mean, he's fairly in the comic books. He's very jovial.
Yeah.
Right. He's sort of a big doofus in a way. And he's much more. He's even more like happy-go-lucky than Thor is.
Yeah, except they've made Thor pretty happy-go-lucky
recently. Yeah, I think they've changed him a little bit in the past, you know, since the movies have started.
Oh, sorry, I meant specifically in the movies. This Thor that we see now, Taika Waititi's Thor, is a big goofball. He's closer to what Hercules is in the comic books. Hercules is like, drinks a lot of beer, you know, likes to spend time with She-Hulk. Like, he's a he's a Bacchus sort of fellow at times, you know.
So I'm interested to see how Roy Kent.
He's just Roy Kent. That's all you need to know. Brett Goldstein.
It's just Roy Kent. Okay, Brett Goldstein is going to play him. I'm sure he can do it because in real life he's actually kind of a sweet guy, right? I mean, he's not Roy
every
Kent
time
at
I've
all.
Seen no. Every time I've seen him, he's super sweet, and he's a really sweet, really smart guy. Apparently, he wrote that they would the Roy Kent role. They just couldn't cast anybody.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I guess I'll do it because he'd written it.
And they were like, how about you? Yeah,
yeah. And he's
like, really?
He's nailing it. Like, he's such a runaway hit.
Oh yeah, completely.
Show. Yeah,
he's terrific.
Yeah, and I love. Here's the thing, though. Chris Hemsworth is an Adonis. I mean, he's huge. He's bigger than Adonis. Adonis is like, you know, regular person. Chris Hemsworth is like insane.
When
Brett Goldstein,
when he's standing there naked, it's frighteningly.
frighteningly,
how big his. His like the what triceps, I guess, like what or no the whatever, whatever it is the
he's
quadriceps,
got thorceps, maybe,
I can, whatever every muscle really how big every big muscle one. Is it's just amazing.
I called it. I was really pretty sure they were just gonna show his butt off, which was I don't know why I was convinced of that, but just Taika Waititi, he's gonna try to get away with what he can't get away with. It was hilarious when they all fainted too, which.
Yes, that was very good. And and his tattoos.
His tattoos, yeah. Rip Loki. He's got a hard tramp stamp. It's pretty funny. I don't know how Brett Goldstein's going to... I think they're going to have to make him gruff, but with a heart of gold, right? Like,
I guess so,
They're going to have to fight.
Because otherwise he's like... Because you said, Thor has taken over. Like, Thor's... character in this universe is a little bit more like Hercules is in the comic books.
Yeah, so
he might be a little bit more like Ares.
Oh, maybe. But we've got Ares, which don't is, we? What's his name? Showed up in Thorn of the Celestials in it.
What?
The Eternals. Wasn't that Ares that showed up at the end?
Oh. Was that Ares?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, Ares. I'm thinking of Eros. Gosh.
Yeah. You're thinking of Eros. Yeah.
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 Man, do you miss Dan?
He's not the god. He's not, I mean, yeah.
No, he's an Eternal-esque thing.
He's a Titan.
Oh, right, because he's what's his name's brother.
Which makes, in the comic book, of course, things make less sense than in the MCU, but it doesn't. They kept it the same because Star Fox looks like a regular human, and for some reason Thanos looks like a giant purple dude. Like, I don't understand how he's his.
Well, I think the rationale
they don't look anything alike, but
I think the rationale
they look like completely different races.
Yeah, I think it's that deviant not deviant thing. Do you know what I mean? Like that weird... I don't know enough about Eternals. I'm not going to pretend to. Anyway.
Yeah.
Long story short. Yeah. Whole bunch of weird, wacky gods, none of which we really understand, which I'm totally cool with. Like some of the MCU gods, like the ones that we saw in Moon Knight, seem legit. Well, not gods per se, but not.
Yeah, but
in
they're...
the same realm as like Thor, who's basically a techno alien, right? Zeus does have the same kind of vibe as the Asgardian gods. You know what I mean? Like similar sort of power set, manifests a bit differently, you know, like the Bifrost and the lightning bolt travel or whatever, just different ways of doing a transporter effect. Like the, it's similar, like a sentient ish weapon kind of thing. And the other cards we don't really see, but did you notice two Celestials standing outside the window as they escape on their boat?
Yes. Well, yeah, they both like give sort of quizzical looks for Celestials.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could ID them. Yeah. Like, I don't know the difference between the Celestials, so I don't know which ones those were. If one, like, is, I can't even remember the name of the one in the Eternals, honestly. But
I don't know.
And then there's a statue of one of them in the hall at the end when they're fighting that.
Yeah.
Thor falls almost, you think it's going to fall on the kids, and then Thor stops it.
Yeah. I guess, what is the theme? The theme is better to have loved and lost than never to have lost at all, loved at all. Is that it? Like, we're just doing the Shakespeare thing?
I think so, right? I mean, yeah, and also recognize, I think part of the thing is recognizing where your pain comes from, too, and sort of accepting a certain amount of pain because you get the other benefits, right? You get love. I mean, and that ties into their, why they broke up, right?
Right.
They weren't willing to accept any of the pain or the difficulty at the time. And so they broke up, and then they later realized he says he wants, again, I'm not supposed to swear on this podcast. So he's, he wants to feel crappy.
Yeah.
I think that it ties it together fairly well, and like I said, it's not super original, but it's okay. It's a good lesson to learn.
Yeah.
And one of the other one of the things we haven't talked about the goats.
They were
which
really
are super fun.
Yeah, they were fun.
I liked them more than maybe in the trailer. You could see them briefly in the trailer, but I think there was a short or something that they released, like a clip that they released. And I ended up liking them a lot more than I thought I was going to.
There's a lot of funny bits with them. I like they're fighting on that tiny moon thing. I like when they just run right into that moon. We get a shot of the moon, and
that's
going towards
great.
It. And
it's a very like silent movie type thing, right? I mean, because everything goes black and white to start with, and then they run into the moon like vers la lune.
Exactly. It's got to be a shout
19th
out to that,
century
right? French, like
yeah,
a French,
it's got to be
French movie.
Yeah.
One of the first ones to do visual effects has. Like a rocket ship stuck in the eye of the moon, because there's a big man smiling face.
The man, kind of eye of the man in the moon.
Eye of the man in the moon,
right.
And it's funny. Like, I love that was a cool little planetoid to battle on. Visually, this movie's amazing. Just really, really good. So the goats were pretty good. I liked that they were fighting with the...
And the goats fight, too. The goats, they pick up Korg. They save Korg's life, and they headbutt one of the shadow monsters.
Yeah, I liked, I was shocked and then happy to discover that Korg has the CP3O ability to like get all blowed up and like get strapped onto our hero's back so that it's easier to run around.
He doesn't know that.
Yeah.
That's perfect. I wonder what happened to that one that, one that Thor destroyed in the second Thor movie.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he didn't destroy it.
Maybe
he's just
fine.
He's just fine. Yeah, he's just got to collect a bunch of rocks.
He's just in pieces. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they somehow they can get back together because Korg was okay by the end.
Yeah. It's just a flesh wound.
It's fine. How do you like Waititi is has to make sure he keeps appearing in these movies.
Yeah. Valkyrie was great as always. Tessa Thompson always a blast to watch.
I always find it funny, like when I was watching a thing, a little promo that they released on Twitter this morning, today sometime, and I always find it funny to hear her speak with just an American accent, because I always think that she's
she's not
American
Valkyrie.
Because I see her in these movies almost predominantly, and she speaks with a British accent.
Yeah, she's classy.
Fools me. I don't know how good you think it is, but it fools me every time.
Good enough. Whatever. I mean, that's not an accent, right? Like they're just space aliens. So it's
they're
fine.
Doing
like,
yeah. They're doing Asgard. Yeah. Yes, that's
they're
true.
Doing bits, and
yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I like the again calling back to the plays in Asgard and Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
I like Matt Damon because he seems like he would just say yes to anything, including stupid crypto ads, which I kind of wish he hadn't said yes to. But this
really for sure,
this was fun, you know, and he's playing a big goofball. And like, that's a fun part. And we got Sam Neill in there. Nope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sam Neill. I almost called him Sam Keith. Yeah. He's a comic book artist. But yeah, Sam Neill's there. Who was the other one? Oh, it was Hemsworth's brother.
His brother. Yeah. Hemsworth's brother. And his Gore's daughter is Hemsworth's daughter.
Yes. Yeah. Which is cool.
And I guess some of the other characters have children who were in like the group of children, I think. And and maybe in the background in various scenes and stuff like that. I forget who exactly though.
So Axel is Heimdall's son. And they do a bit. They do like a trans thing there, where
it's not super obvious. It's like you don't because it's confusing as to whether or not they don't come out and say. I mean, they say that they say the name, which is traditionally given female name, right?
Yeah,
but they don't really.
Yeah.
You know, and then they were saying a lot of things about this movie being very the gayest movie Marvel ever made or something like that.
That's a bit of a stretch.
I forget. And it might be, but it's still not
I guess it's true that they have ever made. Yeah, sure. Is it particularly gay? I mean, only if you like colors, maybe. There's like nothing really gay.
Yeah, right.
This.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they can go a lot farther than this.
Yeah. Is Valkyrie gay? I guess so. Who knows? She just likes to have fun as far as I can tell. Like, there's. Yeah,
you kind of get. I mean, I got the sense that in the first movie that she was in, in Ragnarok, that she was possibly in a relationship with that woman who was killed by.
Yeah, they did say Hela. That again this time. Yeah, they say.
And they definitely. Yeah, I mean, and Korg calls her her girlfriend. So
yeah,
I think that was a fairly.
I guess so. And then, there's a scene where she's asking Thor, like, "Do you still have feelings for Jane?" And Thor's like, no, he's lying. He's like, no, no, no. She's like, okay, great. We're on the same team, Team Jane. Which is like, I couldn't tell if she was just messing with his head to like, or, you know.
Oh, I think she was.
She was sweet on him. Yeah, it's like both, you know.
Right.
I guess that's kind of gay-ish. Whatever. Like, it's not. Oh, and Korg is what?
Yeah, I think the Korg thing is probably the most. The most obvious one. Like, and Valkyrie kisses the hand of that.
Yeah, but that's such an awesome swashbuckling thing.
I think that's fun. Yeah. There's just a lot of fun stuff in this movie, and I think that's one of the. I think a lot people complained about the that it felt a little just disjointed, I guess, which I kind of understand.
I get Waititi has, like I said, a tonal. Shifts all over the place in all of his movies, so maybe it's that. Did people not like Thor looking like a dum-dum, which I'm kind of cool with? Like, he's not the smartest guy at any point, but
no, yeah, I'm completely fine with that. I mean, you know, he manages to pull it together when he needs to, right? And I think he does that at the end with the kids.
Yes.
He gives them a good speech without being without stepping on his tongue, which he does, you know, many other times throughout the movie.
Yeah.
you know, another funny moment is when they're about to leave to go to Omnipotent City, and he says, "We'll be coming back with children, and then we'll feast." Not on the children, of course. We don't do that anymore. Which seems exactly like something that gods would have done. You know what I mean? Like that. I mean, if you read some of the stuff in the Norse myths, some of it is pretty far out there. So, and gods do famously feed on their children. So
I liked the portrayal of Zeus was pretty funny because I was like, yeah, that kind of fits. That guy is kind of a dick. So.
right.
So yeah, Tessa Thompson's character. One comment I did see was that Jane's death is like sort of a, you know, refrigerating sort of a move.
Well, I mean, the classic refrigerator stuff is for that murder to inspire the male hero to do whatever he needs to do,
which was not the case.
And I don't think that qualifies here personally.
No.
Cuz first of all, it comes at the end, and her sacrifice doesn't, I mean, she saves him.
Exactly.
Basically, because she comes back and decides she's going to fight instead of lying in a hospital bed.
Right.
But it doesn't do anything for his motivation particularly, other than, well, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it tells him at the end that he shouldn't, you know, that he should try and reason with Gore instead of punch him in the face. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't think it's so obvious that it is.
Yeah, it wasn't cut and dry to me either.
Case.
Yeah, I.
Yeah.
I mean, does Natalie Portman want to come back? Like, what, you know?
Well, they feel like they left the door open for that, right? I mean,
I guess, because,
you know,
she does go to Asgard, yeah.
In the comic books, they've come back from Valhalla before.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that could be cool.
It's perfectly possible.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's interested in that or not. I mean, I think, you know, if I can't imagine that Chris Hemsworth wants to keep bodybuilding to that extent.
No.
For the rest of his life. And I mean, the one thing, Natalie Portman is actually older than him, so
yeah.
I don't know if how long she'd want to do it either. I mean, cuz she pumped up a bit for this too. She looked terrific. I mean, her arms were
huge.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she looked really gaunted, you know, when she was lying in the hospital bed, which I'm sure there's makeup and other stuff on that, but
right. I would imagine.
Yeah. So I like that they gave her, I like that they sort of redeemed that character, and not that she had done anything wrong. It's just they had screwed up by writing it that way.
Exactly. Know? They had done a disservice to the character.
Yeah. That used to happen.
Be redeemed doing that disservice.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, she went out like a god, which was great, I thought. And I don't necessarily think it motivated Thor so much as underscored the sort of the point of the movie, maybe. I don't know. I can't bring myself to be upset with it. I'm trying to, I can see why people, I can see why people would be, but, you know.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, at the same time, you can't have, I mean, you know, if you're going to have heroes, you know, sort of hero stories, stories of this genre with female characters, some of them are going to die.
Yeah.
And they can't, they're not all going to be fridges, right?
Right.
I mean, I think you can make a much bigger, you know, better case that Black Widow's death is that for sure.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I'm still kind of upset at that, because, like, both of the people that got tossed off were women, which is like, come on. Sucks.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Both of those were bad.
Yeah.
I mean, particularly, I think, yeah, I mean, both of them were bad, really.
Speaking of the children of Thanos, how bad do you feel for Nebula and what's her name? Rigillin? Just spending all day in makeup chairs for like one line, and she just screams, "No!" Or something.
Really,
like, just gosh.
Yeah. I was a little surprised where that ended up with them. I mean, not so surprised. I mean, basically just surprised because it seemed like there would be more to it than that based on where we were left with them at the end of Endgame. And then suddenly they decided, no, that's not, we don't want to have adventures with the two of them together. Like they, you know, they spend like 5 minutes at the beginning of the film together. And then
yeah. It does make it seem like they've been together for a long time. It was like in, it had that episodic feel, like sort of like a, one of the Trek movies does that too, where it's like we've been, they reference adventures that have happened off screen, basically, right?
Like, oh yeah, yeah, like yeah, the
you
new,
can't
the
be getting
Trek
married
movies,
on every
yeah.
planet, like that kind of thing. And
right
what's his name, Star-Lord knows Thor's speech and he knows what he says at the end. I mm-hmm. really enjoyed that little battle that they were in. Yeah. It was so silly. Yeah. And I think that probably some I read something that it was like people were annoyed by that because I don't know, because it's silly. Guess what? It's a lightning god. It was great. Those Muppet looking creatures were amazing.
I love those.
Could
guys.
Not get enough of those things. Yeah,
yeah. I want to know more about like what? Who are those weird space marauders who are birds?
It's awesome. When he's doing the he's doing the splits to hold the two things apart. It was awesome.
Yeah,
like very
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, very 80s stuff. Yeah. Jean-Claude Van Damme, like that spin kick where he kicks their little dune buggy over. Perfect. Just so fun. And the fact that he destroys the temple, that like that priest sort of long suffering, like, yeah, thanks for your help. Like he doesn't want to yell at him, but he's like, this sucks. I just want to get rid of this guy.
He's secretly, he's like, I don't want to talk about it though. Yeah. Also, you have to take these coats.
Yeah. Do you wanna,
I mean, you know, we can do a ritual. I thought it was, you know, I mean, you know, I'll just go first. I gave it a biff because I thought it was just super fun. And I agree that it's got some, like it jumps around weirdly, I guess. I'm not exactly sure what the problem with the storyline is. And I thought that flashback was an odd one to put in there. I mean, I get why they did it, but it comes sort of out of nowhere because we haven't heard anything about our mother before.
I didn't mention it earlier. I believe Taika Waititi's mother died of cancer.
Oh, is that right?
I think it's a personal thing that he wanted to put in somehow. Okay. Yeah, because it didn't make a lot of sense. But
it's a little more sense, but it doesn't make a lot of sense in the movie. So it just seemed odd. But again, I thought it was super fun. I did enjoy the way that they managed to, you know, do better by Jane. So I thought that was really good. And like I said, I would watch these people do almost anything because that's because I think it's super fun to watch them do stuff. And they seem to be having fun doing it. And a lot of it is completely goofy, but I still enjoy it anyway. So there.
Yeah. I'm
a simple person.
I couldn't agree more. You are a simple person. it's a biff. It's
well, good night, everybody.
It's a biff. It's the Mount Olympus of biffs. No, it's not quite that because it is a little bit all over the place. The tonal shifts are certainly there.
You know, I mean, I think Ragnarok is a better movie.
It is a better movie.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I had more fun watching Ragnarok, but I think it's a better.
It's more cohesive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And here's the thing, though. Ragnarok, you come in trying to beat Thor 1 and 2. This one, you come in trying to top Ragnarok.
Beat Ragnarok.
Which is already set. You've already done the weird, quirky tone shift, and people want more of that. And you're like, well, do I do more? Which kind of the crazy birds were in like the splits thing. It was like more over the top. The final battle was like sort of like the bridge battle, in the way he jumps into battle. He's got lightning and everything, except more, because now we got a bunch of little kid Thors, you know. So
yeah, so it's a little sillier, less grave than the bridge battle, I would say.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some silly bits in the bridge battle too, but it's all adults really. And you know, there's nobody shooting lightning out of a stuffed animal's eyes.
I thought it was good. I thought it worked well, especially in this character, we, you know, we're introduced to him at the beginning of this movie as Quark lists off everything that he's lost, like his mom, his dad, his people, everything gets taken from him.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of, I like the way that it, like the Warriors 3 just get not even name checked, just like this guy, yeah, this guy, not, this guy.
Like, I don't even know who this guy is.
It's perfect. And then like Loki gets mentioned like 3 or 4 times, however many times he's died, mm-hmm. and then again and again. And by the end of the movie, our character has literally learned that like all of that loss is fine because I had love during, you know,
right,
which is great.
Yeah.
And he's found someone, and he's got someone new now.
And he's got somebody new to love and take care of. Yeah. In fact,
right.
The somebody new is the daughter of his enemy, which Loki was also the child of a defeated foe.
That's right.
So, you know,
yeah,
it goes like that. It rhymes.
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah. I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was fun. It was silly. It was heartfelt. The performances are top notch. And, you know, angry space Muppets with like on like speeder bikes. That's fun. It's just fun. I loved the visual design. I liked the music. I liked everything about it. Christian Bale can be terrifying. Like
we didn't spend a lot of time on his character, because I thought he did like a real nice job of being creepy and pissed off. And if his turn at the end is, I don't know, is obvious, I think it's okay.
I think it's earned too.
You know, certainly, certainly as an actor, he did a great job pulling off that weird vibe between creepy and angry.
Yeah,
and it turns out he, you know, as you think, well, you know, you lost your kid. Why would you do something bad to other kids? And he actually never does.
No,
right? I mean, he does sort of put them in danger, definitely, and he attacks them with the monsters at the end. They all end up being fine though.
I mean, he's definitely a bad guy,
and he's affected by the, I mean, you know, they throw it in there that he's affected by the sword, so he's,
that's,
they get away with,
that's what I was gonna say,
that, which you know, sort of second movie in a row that they've used a MacGuffin to say that somebody is behaving poorly because they've been infected by some bad thing that would make them behave worse than they normally would.
Yeah.
So hopefully the next movie will have a different plot device than that.
Right. Yeah. Is, yeah, I did.
Because they do, like, I mean, I was trying to think about this earlier. They often do a great job with villains. And I was thinking of Killmonger. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy who they managed to do that very well with, who is just a bad guy.
Yeah.
There's no question that he is a bad person, but he also has very good points about certain things.
Yeah.
And that worked super well. I don't think they need to make every bad guy be a good person at heart.
No, I don't think so either. I don't even necessarily. Do you think this guy was a good person at heart? Who knows? I don't think so. He certainly got consumed by it.
I think they want you to think that, right?
Well,
I think
he loved his daughter,
you know,
which is,
I mean, he's a good father, right? He's trying to take care of his kid, and that's the thing that drives him over the edge is the fact that she dies, and his God just does not care.
Yeah. What did you think about that commentary on, like, the gods don't care?
I think that was good. I thought that was interesting. Yeah, I mean, and of course, in these movies, the gods are not, like you said before, they're not real gaudy gods, right? They're either just superpowered ethereal beings, or they're space pirates.
Yeah, like, Zeus's little city there felt like the Federation getting together, but they did not have a prime directive in any way. You're like, yeah, we just go from place to place messing with these people, and it's fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a strong biff. I'm looking forward to see what they do next time. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to say about Gore is that he doesn't kill very, like, you know, Zeus says this, but he does not kill very many gods in this, whereas in the comic book, he kills like most of them, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, a lot of it happens off screen.
And of course, in the comic book, they'll bring them back in like 2 issues. But he's much more threatening, I think, in the comic book than he is in this. But I think he's sufficiently threatening in this to make it fine.
Yeah, it's a little bit like what we were saying about Ms. Marvel, is that we've got enough of this bad guy to make him a bad guy, and enough so that so that the solution is not Thor just doing run, Barry, run. Like, he's not doing his one thing, even harder, you know? Right. The solution is to actually talk to this guy. So there's enough to hang that part of the story on, but beyond that, it's pretty slim pickings. I didn't need to see him doing fight, fight, fight with a bunch of people we don't know or don't care about when I could be spending that time, you know, with Thor and the gang.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. So,
all right,
Dan gives it an Alex, and and that's that.
We'll just assume that's what it. Well, I'm going to write it down here on the scoreboard. Just
perfect. Yeah,
just for completion. You know, for the sake of being completeness.
Yeah, we had
it. I don't think we know when we're coming back. We'll try and think of some other things to talk about. We don't have any new Disney Plus shows until, so Groot, I Am Groot starts August 10th. So that's like 3 weeks from now. And then She-Hulk is 4 weeks from now. So we will have, I mean, we might, I don't know how much we're going to focus on I Am Groot, but we might talk about it a little bit for sure.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely be talking about She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, starting sometime after August 17th.
Yeah. And we probably
premieres.
Whatever, I don't want to make any promises on it, but we'll probably be back before then for sure. Like,
I'm sure I will go. I will be going through my archives, watching something.
Yeah,
and
me too.
We'll text you and let you know.
Yeah,
and then
I'm all
and
in.
You will do the same, and then we'll figure out.
Yeah, because this is actually one of those opportunities we have to do fun stuff that we haven't bothered.
Yeah, fun stuff, because Dan never wants to do fun stuff.
That's exactly what I meant. That is 100% what I meant. Yeah. You know, when he left the show, he just left a note. And when I, you know, did he leave us or did we leave him? Who knows? Can't tell.
I think we could do an episode of Star Trek.
I'm pretty convinced we should. There's got to be some angle. Who cares about the angle? We'll just tell people we're going to do Star Trek.
We talked about Ted Lasso once before.
We did, but Ted is a hero.
Yeah. well, so's Captain Pike. But anyway.
Oh yeah.
We'll see what we get.
Yeah. Actually, season one of Strange New Worlds. Maybe that's worth a. Mm.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Send your
send
your letters to @BiffCast on Twitter or biff@theincomparable.com, I believe. See email address.
I think so.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It'll find
and
its way.
Thank you for reading along. And we will figure out what we're gonna talk about and be back to talk to you about it. Until then, I would like to thank my co-host, Guy English.
You'd think I would have come up with a zingy outro, but no, and I don't even have a third person to like riff off of. Gosh, this stinks.
I know. These are tough times.
Tough times, because it's not even as fun. Like, we can't make fun of each other because there's no third person to like make crack up.
That's right. Usually we gang up on someone.
Yeah, it's just, it was just me being mean to each other. Now we can't do that. Anyway,
that arrow is not in our quiver.
Well, maybe we go back and do an arrow episode. Callback. Yeah.
Oh my god. Never done the first season, have we?
No, we've done the first season. We never went back. And
did we do the? We went
yeah,
back and
we
did
didn't
the, first
do the
season,
second season.
Yeah, okay, that's right. We didn't do the second season. Yeah. Oh man, I don't know if I'm up for that.
It's a lot. It's a lot, and I'm kind of beyond that now.
Yeah.
So.
What if we could do the whole thing in one episode?
Yeah, but that would mean we'd have to watch the whole thing in 1 week.
I know. Maybe we could just read about it.
Okay. Don't you giving away our tricks.
All right.
Okay, man.
Yep. Before I give away all of our tricks, I want to say thank you, and we will talk to you next time.
Dun 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 dun. Okay, that's it. Stopping recording.